Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
So glad to be with you today, and actually, I'm saying we, but it's just me. I don't have anyone available today to assist with the questions, and so I will home in here on a few very pertinent questions that have been asked. And in fact, since it's just you and me, let's tackle a little complex one. And I'll do my very best to make it as plain as we can. This is one of those where if you had a pencil and a piece of paper handy, it might be better for you to jot a few things down as we go so you can see a complex picture become simple. We have a question from somebody that watched the shows that we have on YouTube. And they said, and I addressed this in our last show, but I'm going to give you a far more detailed explanation that will open up a lot of vistas, if you will, regarding why the fall happened, how it happened, and so forth. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper with you into how life began. The question they asked is, are you saying mother is superior to father? Now, we did touch on this last week a little bit, but we're going to go into a deeper layer today. Are you saying that the mother goddess is superior to the father goddess? Are you advocating female supremacy? And if father was made by mother, who made mother? So this is a question that came. Now, let me answer this, and let's start from the beginning. First of all, my beloved brothers and sisters, I had no idea of mother as a personified being on earth until I was called in front of her in February of 2005. Like most of you, I was praying to the Father. Had no idea that the fathers that were in between us and the true God of truth were, in fact, at the time, imposter gods that were there because there was illusion around the masculine and the feminine and their roles in the cosmos, as you're going to see as we develop this. So, let's start at this base. The mother is like a hermaphrodite, in that every piece of masculinity within existence is within her. Every piece of femininity within existence is within her. As we mentioned before, the issue, however, is that because life has to procreate itself, the feminine in the cosmos, everywhere, Nagwals have studied this phenomenon for eons of existence, that there are more feminine kingdoms, more feminine races, then there are masculine races throughout the cosmos. The nature of the feminine is dominant in the cosmos because the cosmos has to birth itself. So, in the mother, A, there is more feminine than the father, hence we call her the mother. But secondly, although she has all masculine within her, within the cosmos, now, think of the cosmos as a specific stage on which a play is going to happen. Within that play, even though she could technically express as either masculine or feminine, having everything within her, she chooses to come in feminine form because the first creator, the created being, the first player on that stage is masculine, because she wishes to study the masculine. So the masculine, being a little less known perhaps to her, because it is not as prevalent or as dominant, is for some reason that I have not yet puzzled out, that which she wishes to study the most of. So she creates a masculine god to play the counterpart on that stage, which is the cosmos. She who is the director, and is both masculine and feminine, comes in feminine form. She creates a feminine form. And from this feminine form, all females come. And she does this so she can play the counterpart of the father on the stage. Now, there is a vast world out beyond the stage. But all we know is the stage, which is the cosmos. And so in the cosmos, she wants her leading man to be everything that he could possibly be. So Mother does the following. She has recreated him. I know of at least 3 or 4 times. I would have to sit down and truly remember back now, but I know of at least 3 or 4 times in which Mother has rewritten the script as to how the character on that stage will be as her leading man, trying each time to give him more realness, more, shall we say, depth, more stability, more luminosity, and more power. She takes up X amount of power for the play, and she elevates him to have equal power with her, and then they're equal on the stage. But remember, this character only, as all of us do, exists as individuations on that stage. Off the stage, we exist as possibilities, as possible facets of the mother herself. But we are not individuated until we come on that stage. It's a little bit like a puppet, in that the puppet is animated when it's in the puppeteer's hands on stage, but when it's off stage, it's just a possibility. So the father and the mother on stage form what's called self-sustaining oneness. In that, although mother's light and frequency are much larger than father on stage, their matter and energy is maintained at the same level. And secondly, and remember now, you know, the laws of existence, which is the reason why Mother has done this, and that is that same matter and energy attracts, opposite light and frequency attract. So she keeps her light and frequency opposite to Father, but she keeps it at the exact ratio that it doesn't create an overdue attraction. If the gap gets too big, Father and all of creation gets so attracted to Mother that a black hole forms, because they all rush towards her like two magnets that can come in close enough proximity and cannot stand it, and they have to come together. So Mother would create a black hole, which is counterproductive. There's a loss of energy when there's a black hole or a big bang, and hence a descension. So Mother keeps it always, and this she learned through experiential knowledge. Now, why has she recreated Father? Because one's tendency is to think that Mother should know everything. Well, Mother knows everything of what there is to know. However, experiential knowledge, you know how multiple times we have said that it's in the flesh where all new knowledge is gained. That's experiential knowledge. We turn the things that have never been thought of before into the known through our experience. So through experiential knowledge, Mother has recognized multiple things in her creation of her leading man, of the God of truth, Father. And that is that there's ways to make him more of this, more of that, more of that. Firstly, Father was an externalized expression of Mother's masculine components. What then happened is that Father became very emotionally unstable, in that if he felt strong emotion, he could not function properly and clarity was lost. Mother recognized that that was a problem. Now, my brothers and sisters, what I want to do actually is that in our little commercial break, I will go through, I've already looked and couldn't quite find it before the show, but I will look and I'm hoping to find a precious, precious, precious little piece that was kept in one of the libraries, the sacred libraries that are opening, a precious piece that was kept there regarding a conversation between the mother and the father that at some point in the far antiquity of existence was overheard and recorded. Now, how is this possible? At times, it is possible. There have been times I have been lying in my bed half asleep and suddenly I'm somehow clicking into mother and father speaking because I hear when mother speaks to me and father speaks to me also, but it's mother that gives me my marching orders for the most part. However, there have been times that I don't know if it's by accident or if it is that mother wanted me to hear and learn something. But there are times that I switch in that I've been privy to hearing their conversation. Somewhere in the far distant past, the beings that kept this particular library, and I'm hoping to find it for you today, recorded such a conversation between mother and father, with father pleading with mother, or beseeching her is more a better word, please, can you find something to bring some stability to my matrix? The stability is not there, and there was something that mother recommended. I cannot recall what it was. I had translated it off of some plates in the library, but I would have to find it. But mother proposes something that she tries. She tried multiple things. At times, it was necessary to remake father. And one such way that father was remade was when mother realized that to externalize only her masculine parts created this instability. She then totally remade father and created him as an externalization of all of what she is, but with emphasis on masculine expression so that he's masculine. That was one way in which she remade father. Then, another way that comes to mind that mother did a couple of months ago is that, when she remakes him a couple of months ago, for mother there's no linear time. She just simply accesses the moment before she made him. The knowledge is taken back to that moment, and all of life changes as a result. But she realized that because she immaculately conceived father. Now, my brothers and sisters, it is eminently possible right now for my very special, beautiful light sisters out there to have babies as long as they have a uterus, no matter if they're in menopause, as long as that uterus is there, that's possible. And so the point is that we have actually our second little immaculate baby in its, I think it's just going into its end of its first trimester. Our other little baby boy has already been born that were conceived. He was conceived right here in class. When the masters gathered, they all helped the little spirit into the uterus. It happened with our second baby, who's now in end of the first trimester, and mommy and baby is doing very, very well, but we help those babies in here in part, and we've helped babies in for ladies that are well into their 60s. Unfortunately, their bodies really needed to be detoxified. The baby did come in, but the baby left because the body was a little too toxic. But it absolutely can be done. Mother has immaculately conceived father. In father's case, because all of creation had to come through father and mother jointly, it was recognized that an immaculate conception of father was not the most stable matrix for creations. And so mother redid father this way. Okay, mother creates the stage. How, we will discuss with you as part of this discussion. Mother creates the stage. She goes onto the stage. She's the first to appear on the stage. Once she is on the stage, she externalizes her masculine parts, but complete with everything in it, emphasis on the masculine. Jointly, they conceive the father. Those pieces then are drawn back into herself again. And so it comes back in, and father is created as the first creation that continues on, if you will. So that created far more stability for the cosmos. You know, there are other reasons have been there to recreate father, and that is because things off stage changed. Directors changed, and the script changed. And we'll take a look at that, you know, when we discuss how life has been formed. So, my brothers and sisters, so far, we have explained mother's relationship with father on the stage. Let's take a commercial break, and we'll be back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Elmine experienced the transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Helmy's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almi's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almin. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back to our second segment. And I did indeed find this very, very precious set of glyphs and the translation that I did from them. Fascinating looking language. It's a conversation between the mother and the father of all life, recorded in the Botanic language. And I will read to you a bit in their language, so you just get the hang of it, and then we'll go into English. Pirinit, Botanic, Brachbastra, Villisat, Huvespa, Urespirit, Nus. Ancient the words, kept by the Botanic, yet spoken in this eternal moment. Stavarin bilikviristava, krusek va barit, nus parahem, the sacred conversation preserved for posterity. And the mother to the father did speak, long have I labored to make our matter the same, but my endeavors have been in vain. When not from the building blocks of existence made, you do not, my beloved, stable stay. The father replied, the building blocks and their gifts from you came, but not from them are you made. The mother answered, and I will just interject here to say that when I do translations of other languages and glyphs, for some reason, mother has made it that I hear them in verse. I've asked her why that comes, but she has said that every sentence in these ancient scriptures, so to speak, have about 144 different layers of meaning. And she says that when it's not written in verse, people tend to take it at face value. People are familiar with the fact that poetry is not as it seems, and that it has to reveal itself in layers. That's the most basic reason, but there are multiple others. So mother answers the father, I have tried a field of manifestation from the building blocks gifts to make, from this individuation of your being to shape. But stability in you, my husband, was not created this way. Father inquired, what components are in you with which you more stable, with which you, me, more stable can make? The mother replied, seven gifts of the building blocks now, the field of manifestation form. But love, praise, and gratitude first should have formed, then the seven gifts and 12 states of being made in that order. This should provide the stability not found before. The father implored, let it be so that I be reformed, that I might more worthy be in my being and my form. We're going to look at the explanation of this piece. First of all, who were the Botanic? The Botanic were the fourth root race of Lemuria during one of the long-forgotten cycles of existence. According to the mother, they are extinct and will not be resurrected. What the translation means. Now, first of all, the more father's matter resembles mother's, the greater the attraction between them. And, you know, to understand how similar matter attracts, you can again go to the Belvaspata section in Opening the Doors of Heaven, which is our Revelations of the Isis Libraries that's now in print, available from our office or from Amazon for that matter. It also will make him more real, something Mother has strived to do for all her creations. So, what mother and father are trying to do with this conversation is to make his matter more the same as hers and thereby make him more real. And the further benefit would be that he would be the first creation rather than having the building blocks of life be the first creation. See, that's a problem because if this were so, father would be the second creation because he would be formed from the building blocks. And it was found that the building blocks were more complete and life was therefore more enhanced when the building blocks were birthed by mother and father jointly. In other words, my brothers and sisters, we've just taken a look at the fact that if Father is immaculately conceived, that it creates less stability and enhancement for the cosmos. If Father is made from the building blocks of life, from the subatomic particles that have been found on every octave of existence, the subatomic particles we know of are in matter. There are presence particles, which are, six octaves up above us. There were cosmic life force particles. There were awareness particles coming down the piano octave by octave until, you know, you get all the way down to matter, which has some atomic particles. Those seven particles were, in fact, the building blocks of existence. Mother made Father from the building blocks. But the problem with that is that then the building blocks was the first creation and not Father. And if they were the first creation, they had to be made immaculately, and hence life again was weaker and less stable because of the fact that they were immaculately conceived. So there was a dilemma. And now, there is a field that precedes the building blocks, because we're going to speak next about the field as we explain the rest of that precious piece of conversation that was preserved from the Bionic. And the field, we have discussed on previous shows that it's in fact the stock or the broth that of the soup. The building blocks are the carrots and the peas and the beans and so on that go into that broth. But the broth precedes the carrots and the peas. The carrots and the peas, as they cook, they absorb some of the broth. So you have, for example, in the field that precedes the particles of presence, which are six octaves above ours, the particles, the presence particles, which just call them the carrots, the field that precedes it has power in it. Presence particles also have power in them because the vegetables absorb some of the broth. And then, as you eat it, the broth that the vegetable was cooked in releases again to you and you get to have its benefit. So the broth precedes the carrots and things being put into that pot. The carrots and things put into the pot absorb some of it, and they release some of it as you eat it. This is an important analogy to understand this, because let's just take power, but energy, awareness, you know, things like that are in this field. Power is in the field preceding the presence particle. When the presence particle is made, it ties up some of this power. If the presence particle's job has been to keep the big pattern, as the pattern goes to a higher order or a higher pattern, there's less of the broth held in its inside its needed. So it releases some of it back. So this is the field that precedes the building blocks that Mother is talking about. They then discovered that the field did not consist of the proper elements. And furthermore, they had to be formed in a specific order. Aha! Something had to go into the broth before the seven vegetables, which are the seven subatomic particles. Something had to be put into that broth, which is the field, prior to the vegetables. And the first three things that had to be put in, think of it as parsley, salt, and pepper, okay? Which is a field, first a field of love and praise and gratitude had to be formed. That had to go in there first. Then the seven building blocks, which are power, energy, awareness, love, light, perception, self-perception, and what we do so well here, experiential wisdom, had to be formed as part of the soup. Then 12 states of praise had to be added in. They are jubilation, eternal devotion, joyous expectations, aspiring hope, achieved excellence, elevated mindset, glad heart song, exaltation, adoration, manifested homage, expanding excellence, and triumphant overcoming. The totality of these elements created the stable glory of the Father. So, this is now so interesting, because when we take a look at these love, praise, gratitude, they are the qualities of the first three libraries that opened. Love was the quality of the library of Isis, which is, you know, we've translated the nearest, tiniest fraction of in the revelations of the Isis book, which is a pretty thick book that's just now available to you for purchase. But after that, there's another book, Windows into Eternity, and it deals with it deals with gratitude. And then comes the book, Secrets of the Ancients, and it deals with praise. So the libraries have these qualities. Then there comes the seven building blocks. They open seven libraries. Awareness, love and light, energy, power, perception, self-perception, experiential wisdom. Then there were 12 libraries that opened. I'm still trying to catch up on their work, because Mother insists that every single library has to have one thing translated out of it, so that we do, in fact, anchor it into the physical. Well, they each have a quality, every library. Jubilation, eternal devotion, joyous expectations. For example, eternal devotion is the quality of the Serpent Mound. The sacred order of the Serpent Mound guards the libraries inside the Serpent Mound, and the quality of those libraries is eternal devotion. And so then, you know, the Nazca Peruvian libraries opened, and they were joyous expectations and aspiring hope. And interesting, joyous expectations is depicted by a flower, and you can see these in the massive drawings in the desert down in Nazca, Peru. And elevated mindset, mind always has to do with air, is a baby condor, and so forth. So, my brothers and sisters, this is how stability has come. But we will take a look at this. We'll take a look at how life was created before the stage play. How was the stage play done? What preceded the stage play we know of as the cosmos? Join me again after a short break.
Albion continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the interrelationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life in Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles, or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
I once asked the Father, after we encountered the levels at which he resided in August of 2007, to tell me the main causes of the fall, and his answer to me was, every time you ask me, there will be another layer. My brothers and sisters, what I'm about to tell you of how life began will reveal at least two more layers of how the fall exactly happened. And we'll just sort of pinpoint them as we go along, because our main purpose is more to understand how the stage was formed where Father became a player. What went on in Mother's being, and how was her being before she took the shape of the female body that she created for herself for the stage play? So the first thing that happened is that there is a single cell that exists, but the cell itself is not in its entirety the original creation. Now, I am going to in our commercial break, attempt in all my paperwork here of things that I've been taking down and trying to organize. I mean, I have currently 5 books that I'm working on. That's all going simultaneously, because as soon as one is written, the next one's information is pouring through, but I still have to edit, and we still have to type the previous ones, and so forth. So you know, forgive me that the things are not quite as organized here, but I will attempt to get you a recorded, where I wrote down the conversation I had with the mother about this issue of the cell, because I was appalled that everything started from this minute portion of a cell. And she said, you're thinking spatially. And she spoke to me about the fact that in spaceless space, size is nothing to the infinite. So she said to me, how do you know? And I'm going to try and find her exact words for you. But she said to me, how do you know that everything you know of isn't happening inside one of myself? She said, you cannot think of space when space is just part of the illusion. So let's now go. The original point that so far up to this point I am finding as the origin of all life is a trillionth, and it's more than a trillionth, but it's in that vicinity, a trillionth part of one cell of Mother's heart. So step one is that she forms a complete cell. And I don't know the geometry. I don't know anything. This has only been revealed to me in the last 2 days. But she forms a complete cell. I'd love to know how. But from one minute portion. Then that cell is now one heart cell. It creates a counterpart. It creates a brain cell. And what that cell is, it, because we are the microcosm, so we have what Mother has. So it's the one cell inside the pineal gland that some very leading scientists that are out there on the cutting edge have discovered and called the life cell. Because it is the cell that is similar to what a caterpillar has. You know, when a caterpillar starts to metamorphose into a butterfly, there's a little electric current that goes off inside the brain of the caterpillar. It's actually inside the pineal gland. I don't know if caterpillars have pineal glands, but in humans it is. And it's the one cell inside there. when that little electrical current goes off, when the light goes on, that cell gives the message, the pineal gland gives the message, and a life hormone is excreted that creates immortality. If it isn't, a death hormone is being excreted. And so scientists studying at least those with longevity, you know, I don't know if they know any immortal masters because it's not easy to spot one. But the point is that immortal masters are excreting different hormones. And so that life cell is the counterpart cell to the cell in the heart that the mother, in fact, created. Now, these two cells were supposed to jointly work together in projecting and creating mother's other cells. And it's from mother's other cells then that the stage was projected. But at first, these two cells were supposed to project the other cells. It happened that the brain cell, in projecting the cosmos and in projecting the cells for mother's body to go into the cosmos, the brain cells started to take over more and more and more of the job. It started to become so proactive that it did not do its job well, and then the heart cell ended up having to do its job, and specifically the small, small, small portion of that heart cell that is the original portion of reality. So as it started to usurp, it started to do what was the heart cell's job. It started to govern things. It started to control the big picture. Problem is, it never had the big picture because its function was to study the details. And in studying the details, it was made to be exclusive. Now, we have spoken about this a couple of times, and we have said that the threads of the tapestry are pulled apart. And when this happens, we can study the details. The heart cell held the big picture. It held the tapestry picture. To continue. So, mother was the only one who knew the pattern of the tapestry. In her heart cell, which is the only cell that had the complete pattern of the tapestry, then had to start to study the details. It became totally inactive, the heart cell. The brain cell became totally overactive. On the stage, because nothing can exceed the creator. A creator makes a painting. The painting is not going to be more glorious than that which is inside that artist. If there is dysfunction within that which is projecting the cosmos, writing the script, it's going to be in the script. So now there is dysfunction. The heart cell has become underactive. The brain cell has become overactive. And everybody has forgotten that they are secondary and tertiary creations, even the rest of that heart cell, and that the original creator is only a small portion of that heart cell. So everybody forgot who held the keys to governing. And so that happens on the stage play. Many of you have written to us after reading The Gift of the Unicorns and reading specifically the history of the cycles and saying, how did it happen that mother went into such forgetfulness as the primary being? Well, she went on the stage to study the details because the brain cell wasn't doing what it was supposed to. To study the details, she had to forget and forget and forget and forget because she had to get myopic vision, seeing only exactly what is in front of her. And because that's what he was supposed to be doing, the brain cell. So my brothers and sisters, this forgetfulness of mother of the big picture is why multiple libraries have secrets in them about existence. Because they are, in fact, reminding Mother, as she had to close down her peripheral vision, she left what she could see as secrets in these libraries. So as they opened yesterday, 33 more libraries opened. I'm still back on 12 because see that when Mother speaks to Father about we did it in the wrong order, we first need to put in the 3, which is love, praise, and gratitude, then the 7 building blocks, then the 12, she's saying there's a mathematical sequence for creation. This mathematical sequence is for higher life. The Fibonacci sequence was for lower life. It's the 3, the 7, the 12, 20, 33, 54. We have opened 12 up until now. Recently we opened 20 libraries. We just yesterday opened 33. And this is all parts of Mother's brain awakening. And she left the secrets there because she knew that she would forget. Now that's a wonderful story, is why Mother forgot. And how that's happened. Because, you see, on multiple times, Mother has tried experiments that didn't work, and she had to erase it. Because she didn't want those old misconceptions to govern the new way of life. Multiple times have we gone through descension cycles that were erased, trillions of times in fact, erased, and another descension, ascension cycle to try and live it at a higher order. And so the erasing of those old things that didn't work as Mother struggled, not knowing the whole picture on how to make the threads work so that it would be harmonious with the high picture that she couldn't see. So as she did that, she would erase things that didn't work. She'd just pull the threads out of the tapestry and put them in a different way. When she erased the bad, she also erased the good. So she left these secrets in the library. So when we would get to that level, I can't tell you how many times these beautiful beings have said, "We're so glad you're here. We've been waiting. We're finally free again. We just had a transmission through one of the oracles from the Paka." And the Paka are these humanoid beings that are in the Mount Fuji, Japan, Japanese libraries. And they have exquisite writing. And their writing reads, "We came with peace. We want to talk. Long time has it been. We may now bring beauty forth. We have been freed yet again to stand in front of Mother's eyes. Our secret and gift is this. You see us and feel peace. If you want to feel peace, call upon the Paka. They have long white hair and they will appear to you. Each of their glyphs is a specific sentence that I've just read. Exquisite. But the beings in some libraries didn't have custodians, but those that did have been waiting for us to get to these high levels so that they can release their story to us." My brothers and sisters, let us take a quick break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We're glad you're here, and we want to share with you what we have found here. First of all, let's take a look at how the stage was made. Number one, the heart cell and the brain cell jointly projected creation, made the stage. But masculine cell became proactive, so eventually only masculine cell was projecting creation. And creation fell because it became separative, and it became very much not having the full picture. So consciousness fell. Then they started to project it together. And so as they projected it together, it was more whole. But then Mother wanted all of herself to be part of this projection, not just two of them, in the hopes that it would make her children more real. And so when this happened, Mother created a way in which the heart cell as a field was superimposed over all her other bodily cells, and the masculine cell in the brain also was over all other cells. But this proved to not be working very well, because what happened is that the other cells had become so very inactive. They had apathy, and they were weak in energy as a result. So that was not a good way to create the stage. And there was a second problem. Not only did the other cells not really have the wherewithal to make this projection, but the masculine cell as a field superimposed over all that is. Remember, the masculine cell really was that original point of origins, second creation, in that it first created its own cell, and that cell then created the brain cell. That brain cell, as a field imposed over all the other cells, also didn't work. It was stretched too thin. So it was redone. Currently, how is life formed? As follows. Mother has the heart cell as a field superimposed over all the other cells of her body. The brain cell is small but brilliant. The cells in Mother's body have been completely remade at the highest possible consciousness level, at the highest possible balance and purity. The brain cell has been completely remade so that balance can be restored. So this brilliant small brain cell, the multiple other cells, the heart cell as a field over all other cells, are currently like a projector creating the screen images that we're seeing as the movie around us, which is life. Now, my brothers and sisters, I know that this might have stretched you just a little bit, but I just want to tell you that, you know, I try to actually put my hands on the conversation with that I had with Mother, but I couldn't reach it. So the point is, why do we want to know these things? Because in our hearts of hearts, It is always a question for us how things ended up in such a mess. And are they in a mess? Because, in fact, sometimes a higher order can look pretty disorderly when we look at it from the small picture. It is never a mess. It has always been perfection. And every time that it has looked as though Mother has made an error, the error has been there for a very specific reason. Because there was something that had to be gotten out of the way before the next layer could be laid down. Mother is building this incredible temple with her creations. And the bricks being laid layer upon layer upon layer. One cannot say that the brick that was laid at the bottom is a flaw because there's a brand new, more beautiful brick, perhaps, laid at the top. And so what looks to us like trial and error, and it makes us a little nervous that the cosmos is in this form of trial and error, really has never been. It's just that things do truly grow and unfold in layers. A flower doesn't open bang in 1 second. Its petals unfold. The cosmos is like an exquisite flower. And one by one, its petals are unfolding. It might look as though there are chaotic mistakes that Mother made. But remember, even as the Mother in embodiment came upon that stage, her original portion of her heart cell didn't ever slumber, and it did hold the full picture. So even as it let mistakes or seeming imbalance occur, it was simply part of growth. It reminds me a little bit about my son's growth when he was growing up. He's 6'3" right now. But when he was growing up, his hip bones would not be equal, even, because his legs grew at different paces. So one leg would grow faster, and the hip bone would be up that side, and then the other one would grow, and then up the side would be up. And finally, you know, he reached his maximum growth, and now the hip bones are level. But I used to keep taking him to the chiropractor. I couldn't understand it. And finally, I was informed, it's the way of growth. It looks as though imbalance is imperfection. But perfect equilibrium, my beloved brothers and sisters, even in growth through support, which is our new way of growing, no more growth through opposition. But even in that way, perfect equilibrium means stasis. It means a stagnation of energy and a lack of growth. Equilibrium is fine, but it cannot be indulged in for more than a moment, because it is there in that slight imbalance that ensues that we know where the next area is where we should push life further than it has ever been, where we should push the membrane, where we should push the boundaries beyond where our life has ever been. Thank you for joining me today, and hope we'll be together soon. Please remember to share this with your friends if you think that they are ready, so that we can gather the Light Family, because it is you that makes these programs possible.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almeen. Please join us again next week.